Blog Talk Radio.
Man, let me tell you, I am excited. This is Feedback Friday. We've had an awesome week. You know, the first week back from Catalyst usually goes very slow because we've been in such a power-packed week. But this week, I swear, it's just gone by like nobody's business, man. We got back home, and boom, we're done. We're just finished up the 21 Irrefutable Laws of Leadership. We're going to be covering Go for No next week. It's a powerful book. We had this couple that wrote this book on the radio show, Aces Radio Live, last Friday. I think it's going to be a great book. It will be a twist. It will be a complete paradigm shift for some folks as they look at how they address their business, whether it's a brick-and-mortar business, whether it's a network marketing organization, whether it's a one-man, you know, direct a selling job. You're going to see something completely different, and I think it's going to be awesome. But this is Feedback Friday. The first thing that we always do is we open up the mics. If someone, and I mean, we got a full house today. If anyone has something they want to share about this week, about last week, you know, a lot of you were out of town. There's been some company meetings going on. If anybody has anything to share, just go ahead and I think it's hit one or hit two on your phone, and we'll be able to kick you on and let you rock, because it is powerful on what's going on. And when you think about this, when we share what's happened in our life, when we share about how the 21 irrefutable laws, how that all of a sudden has been applied, when we share about the events in our life and what's been going on, all of a sudden you get excited. All of a sudden you start to realize that, hey, there's people out there that are listening. There's people out there that are going through what I through. And you're always throwing nuggets out there to people. So throughout the show, you know, if you have something that's exciting, something that you finally decide you're not going to be a secret agent and you want to talk about, I want you to raise your hand. We're going to put you live on the phone. Other than that, I want to conclude today the actual 21 Irrefutable Laws. This is a book that when John brought it out, it was amazing. He updated it in 2002. This was the book that really set John's career in the path that it did. Over 1 million copies of this book have now been sold, and that was before the reprint, the revised edition. There's no telling how many have been sold now, but it's a powerful book. It's changed the lives of a lot of people because finally someone put in print what we all think about, and we do it subliminally. We never sit down and think, what's helped me get to where I've gotten today? And that's what this is about. So, you know, we talked yesterday at the end of the show, and I made it very clear to everybody that leadership, everything rises and falls on leadership, and leadership is nothing more than influence. You know, from a child's point of view, they don't realize what leadership is, but they do have influence. When I watch my granddaughters around the house, and when they bark, everybody listens, everybody jumps. That's influence. You know, and at 1 year old, almost, well, I guess 1.5 years old, they know, you know, what to say and how to do it. And in our case, we've also taught them sign language. So they literally not only can say eat or potty or one of that, but they'll also use the sign so that they make it even more clear, hey, I want something to eat. I want more. You know, and that's how we are in our life. We have to realize influence starts at an early age. It doesn't matter how old that you become, there's always going to be somebody that you will influence, which means that everything you do will rise and fall on leadership. So you have to decide today. And this isn't like I'm telling you you can think about it. I'm being pretty dictative right now. I'm telling you, you need to make this decision today. What type of leader are you going to be? There's no excuse. You know, we've got the archives. You can listen to all 21. Actually, there's 22 shows because when the Law of Connection, we actually took 2 days on that. I believe that is one of the most powerful calls that anybody can listen to. It's one of the most powerful laws that's in this book. It's the Law of Connection that has allowed great organizations to continue to grow. It's the Law of Connection that allows social justice organizations to blossom. It's the Law of Connection that can put a person in the White House, but it's the lack of connection that can also make sure they're not there for another term. And folks, we've seen this throughout history. I'm not talking about current presidents. I'm talking about historically. We see this over and over. When a person is on a political trail, when a person is trying to make it to the top of as the CEO, they act a certain way. Most of the time, once the position is attained, because that is the outcome they're looking at, they never go any further. I'll use Bill Clinton. He's a good Southern boy. He's somebody that, although most of the ideologies I always disagreed with, I enjoyed listening to him speak. I think he's a phenomenal oracle. But the position that he was trying to attain was the position of president, not the leadership of a country. We see this happen over and over. Once a person attains the position, then they don't know what to do. I had that happen to me at an early age. I had it on a 3x5 card. You guys know that I always use 3x5 cards. I guess this is my feedback Friday here. You know, on a 3x5 card, I'd put down that I wanted to be a net worth of over $1 million by the age of 25. What I didn't put down is what I would do next or what I would do with that $1 million. And sure enough, our drive, our determination, by the time I was 25, I had a net worth of well over $1 million. And I thought we were riding high. 1 year later, I had a negative net worth. And it was because we didn't have a plan. See, that's why when you guys hear me talk all the time, you hear me say it's never about the money, it's never about the position. It's about the mission, it's about the big picture, it's about something larger than you are. And it took me several years to figure that out. That was not something that just happened overnight. Over the years, we've watched our net worth rise and fall to where today, living in a beautiful city, I should call it a town, we have less than 10,000 people who live here, on a barrier island in the panhandle of Florida, it's not about our net worth anymore. It's about our family. It's about the life that God has given us. It's not even about the lifestyle, which you hear a lot about on network marketing calls and you hear a lot on the internet. Lifestyle can come and go. I've been poor and busted, broke, and can talk to people that are homeless, and I've been financially and well off enough to talk to people that have had boatloads of cash. But what it is about the life that you lead and the legacy that you leave, and we talked about that in the 21 Irrefutable Laws. You know, one of the reasons that Jim Gilhouse and I are partners, one of the reasons that Enrique Garibay and I were partners, the reason we're partners in our businesses, all three of us, and those are, I'm the pivot person. Enrique and I have businesses, and Jim and I have businesses. And the reason that is because we all have that same philosophy in life that we put family and God first, and that's what our focus is, and everything else kind of lines up and goes in that direction. Folks, that's how you've got to look at your life. When you look at these 21 irrefutable laws, you've got to realize that every law that's in here is in here for a purpose. It's in here to sharpen you as an individual. It's in here to allow you to sharpen your team. When you do that, that's when you know that you're moving in the right direction. That's when you know that you're moving where you need to. And I want you to get out a pen and paper, because a lot of you don't have this book, and I want to throw some stuff out here at you real quick, stuff that I think can help you as you move into the weekend. You know, because I can guarantee you, I've already been at the beach this morning. I drank a cup of coffee. I sat down. Actually, I didn't sit down. I kind of walked a little bit. It was raining. It's a beautiful fall rain today. And as I walked and I watched the ocean, you know, the Gulf of Mexico, and I watched her churning up those white caps today because she's a little bit angry, I realized just how powerful God is. Now, I know some of you on the call might be looking at, well, Troy, it's the universe or it's Mother Nature and all that. Look, I'm not here to get into semantics with you. I'm here to tell you, based on my values, based on my belief structure, as I watched the ocean today, I realized just how powerful God was. But I also realized, as powerful as He is to control where those waves go and how far in they go and how far out they go, I also realized that He cared enough about me to allow me to get on this radio show today and share with you from my heart as we conclude this chapter. As we close this book up and probably won't bring it back out for another year, I can bring a few little nuggets in that can possibly help you as you go into the weekend and come out on the other side and say, now I'm ready to rock. Now I'm ready to move my business, my organization, my team forward, whatever the case may be. We flip back to the very first law, the law of the lid. And I'm going to ask you some questions. And what I want you to do is I want you to put a point score beside this. And we've got 20 minutes. I think we can cover all 21 laws this way. Zero means that I want you to put zero equals never. One equals rarely. Two equals occasionally. Three equals always. And beside each question that I give you on each law, you're going to put a point score down. So the law of the lid, leadership ability, determines a person's level of effectiveness. Here's number one, A. When faced with a challenge, my first thought is, who can I enlist to help? Not what can I do? Let me say that again. The first question, A. When faced with a challenge, my first thought is, who can I enlist to help? Not what can I do? And you put down one of the scores. B. When my team, department, or organization fails to achieve an objective, my first assumption is that it's some kind of leadership issue. And remember, you're putting a point score beside this. This is about you. You're looking at your score to decide where you're at on these laws. C, I believe that developing my leadership skills will increase my effectiveness dramatically. Your answers and your point score is going to determine what laws you need to really focus on. Number two, the law of influence. The true measure of leadership is influence, nothing more, nothing less. A, I rely on influence rather than on my position or title to get others to follow me or do what I want. B, during discussions or brainstorming settings, people turn to me and ask for my advice. C, I rely on my relationships with others rather than the organizational systems and the procedures to get things done. Very powerful here, guys. Law number three, the law of process. Leadership develops daily, not in a day. Now listen to me. If you don't get all these down, that's all right. This will be in the archives later this afternoon. You can go back over it. But it's important, if you don't have the book, that you follow through with this. A, I have a concrete, specific plan for personal growth and I engage in weekly. Let me re-say that. I have a concrete, specific plan for personal growth that I engage in weekly. B, I have found experts and mentors for key areas of my life with whom I engage on a regular basis. C, to promote my professional growth, I have read at least 6 books or taken at least 1 worthwhile course or listened to 12 or more audio lessons per year for the last 3 years. That's huge. It's the only way you're going to grow. Right now, today, I've got almost 24 different CDs sitting here as I go through the catalyst from last week, and I write in my workbook, and I move. I'll do an hour a day because it's so important to me. Number four, the law of navigation. Anyone can steer the ship, but it takes a leader to chart the course. One, or A, I spot problems, obstacles, and trends that will impact the outcome of initiatives the organization put in place. I will spot problems, obstacles, and trends that will impact the outcome of initiatives that the organization has put in place. This is huge, man. There's some of you, listen, I hope I get through these, but I got to say this. There are some of you on this call right now. You listen to our radio show. You've joined new organizations. You've sat there. I've talked to you on the phone, and you've said, man, I don't even know why they're asking me to speak or why I'm supposed to be doing this, or, man, I don't even know what to say. Listen to me right now. This is very important. This is key. The law of navigation has proven already in just a short period of time that the organization you're with has seen the leader. They understand it's not about position, it's not about how long you've with the organization, it's about you going into an organization, and right off the bat people have realized that is a leader. That's somebody that's been through the fire. We've got to get them on the planning team. That's just the way it is. Folks, sometimes we don't see it because we're right in the midst of it. It takes an outside person to say, this is where you're at today. It's all that life experience that people are looking at. That's what excites me about this. Five, the law of addition. Leaders add value by serving others. A, rather than being annoyed when team members have issues preventing them from doing their jobs effectively, I see the issue as an opportunity to serve and help other people. This is big. B, I look for ways to make things better for the people that I lead. C, I find personal satisfaction in helping other people become more successful. Man, guys, that's big, man. You get your score down. If that's a weakness for you, work on it. The law of solid ground. Trust is the foundation of leadership. The people I lead confide in me regarding sensitive issues. B, when I tell someone in the organization that I will do something, he can count on me to follow through. C, I avoid undermining others or talking behind their backs. Powerful here, guys. And gals. Trust me, I see four gals on the phone, so I'm not trying to be sexist here. Just, you know how I am. 7, the law of respect. People naturally follow leaders stronger than themselves. Listen, this is key here. A lot of you heard me talk this week about following Dalton, how Dalton was the team leader. I don't follow my son because of the position that he was given. I follow my son. I've done this whether we've been at Bay St. Louis during hurricanes, whether we're working right here with underprivileged in Destin, or whether we're at Catalyst. I follow him because of I have the utmost respect for the decisions that he makes and the direction he goes. I also know that if he gets in a hot spot, he'll turn right around and say, Dad, what should we do? That's co-leadership. That's when you know you're moving in the right direction. It's very important. Law of respect. Let's see. Are people naturally drawn to me and often want to do things with me just to spend time with me? B, I go out of my way to show respect and loyalty to the people I lead. C, I make courageous decisions and take personal risks that could benefit my followers even if there's no benefit to myself. Powerful. That's something we learned in the Marine Corps early on. 8, the law of intuition. Leaders evaluate everything with a leadership bias. A, I can easily gauge morale, whether it's in a room full of people or on the team or in an organization. B, I often take the right action as a leader even if I cannot explain why. C, I can read situations and sense trends without having to gather hard evidence. Now, that's one that you may have to work on. Sometimes we second-guess ourselves. 9, the law of magnetism. Who are you is who you attract. A, I'm satisfied with the caliber of people who report to me or on your team in a network marketing organization. B, I expect the people I attract to be similar to me in value, skills, and leadership ability. That's huge, guys, especially if they're in your inner circle. C, I recognize that no personal process can improve the quality of people I recruit compared to improving myself. Big, big, big there. 10, the law of connection. You know what I feel about this already. Leaders touch a heart before they ask for a hand. A, when I am new to a leadership situation, one of the first things I try to do is to develop personal connection with the individuals involved. This is counterculture to corporate America. I'm telling you that right now. B, I know the stories, hopes, and dreams of the people I lead. C, I avoid asking people to help accomplish the vision until we have built a relationship that goes beyond the nuts and bolts of just working together. Folks, when you hear me talk about Mark Layton or Harry Wilkes or Mike Duvall or Jim Gilhouse or John Hansen, the reason I do is because I know their stories. I've gotten to their heart. I know what makes them drive. I know what makes them tick. And they have values just like mine. That's so important as we move on here. 11, the law of the inner circle. A leader's potential is determined by those closest to him. A, I am strategic and highly selective about which people are closest to me personally and professionally. That is huge. B, I regularly rely on some key people in my life to help me accomplish my goals. C, I believe that 50% or more of the credit for my accomplishments go to the people on my team. I can guarantee you 95% of my success is due to the people that have been on my teams for the last 3 decades. Had nothing to do with me whatsoever. It had to do with I attracted the right people, and they went out and attracted the right people, and they built an organization that I just happened to be blessed to set at the top in. 12, the law of empowerment. Only secure leaders give power to others. A, I embrace change easily and become dissatisfied with the status quo. Man, I can tell you that's me, all right. B, I believe that no matter how talented the person who works for me are, my position is secure. C, it is my regular practice to give people that I lead the authority to make decisions and take risks. Folks, I was very privileged in the Marine Corps to have a major that said, just go get it done. I don't care how you do it, as long as it's done in an ethical and moral manner. You lead those boys, and it was great. Number 13, the law of the big picture. People do what people see. A, if I observe an undesirable action or quality in a team member, I check for it in myself first before addressing it with them. Huge. B, I am continually working to try to make my actions and my words consistent with one another. That is huge. That's something I work on. C, I do what I should rather than what I want because I am conscious that I am setting an example for others. Huge, huge. 14, the law of the buy-in. People buy into the leader, then the vision. A, I recognize that a lack of credibility can be as harmful as an organization, as harmful to an organization as a lack of vision. Let me restate that. I recognize that a lack of credibility can be as harmful to an organization as a lack of vision. B, I wait until I see that most of the people on the team have confidence in me before asking for a commitment to the vision. C, even when my ideas are not good, my people tend to side with me. That goes back to the law of respect. Number 15, law of victory. Leaders find a way for the team to win. A, when I lead a team, I feel ultimately responsible for whether it achieves its goals or not. Let me reset. When I lead a team, I feel ultimately responsible for whether it achieves its goals. Very important. B, if members of my team are not unified in their efforts to achieve the vision, I take action to get them on the same page. C, I make personal sacrifice to help ensure victory for my team, my department, my organization. I'm in the middle of a consulting contract right now where the ultimate goal will be what's best for that field force, what's best for that team, not necessarily what will be best for my pocketbook. Folks, I tell you that because this is important. As a leader, you've got to look at your team first, because if you look at your team, Zig Ziglar made this very clear years ago, you look at your team, you build your team, eventually the money will be there. I'm a believer in that. Number 6, the law of the big mo. A, I'm enthusiastic and maintain a positive attitude every day for the sake of my team members. B, whether I have a major leadership decision, I consider how the decision will impact the momentum on my team, my department, or my organization. Folks, this is huge. C, I initiate specific actions with the purpose of generating momentum when introducing something new or controversial. You have to. That's so important. Law of priorities. Leaders understand that activity is not necessarily accomplishment. A, I avoid tasks that are not required by my leadership, don't have a tangible return, or don't reward me personally. Let's say that again. I avoid tasks that are not required by my leadership, don't have a tangible return, or don't reward me personally. B, I set aside time daily, monthly, and yearly to plan my upcoming schedule and activities based on my priorities. C, I delegate any task for which a team member can be at least 80% as effective as I can be. That's huge, folks. 18, the law of sacrifice. A leader must give up to go up. A, I know making trade-offs is a natural part of leadership growth, and I make sacrifices to become a better leader as long as they do not violate my values. That's huge. B, I expect to give more than my followers do in order to accomplish the vision. C, I will give up my rights in order to reach my potential as a leader. Big. 19, the law of timing. When to lead is as important as where or how to lead. A, I expand as much effort figuring out the timing of an initiative as I do figuring out the strategy. B, I will launch something using a less than ideal strategy because I know the timing is right. C, I can sense whether or not people are really ready for the idea. Number 20, the law of explosive growth. To add value, lead followers. To multiply, lead leaders. We just talked about this. This is huge. A, I believe that I can grow my organization more rapidly by developing leaders than any other method. B, I spend a significant amount of time each week investing in the department, I spend a significant amount of time each week investing in the development of the top 20% of my leaders. I would rather see leaders I develop succeed out of their own than keeping them with me so that I can keep mentoring them. That's part of the breakaway. That's so important. 21, the law of legacy. A leader's lasting value is measured by succession. A, I possess a strong sense of why I'm on my job and why I'm leading. B, in each position I've held, I have identified people who can carry on after me, and I have invested in them. C, one of my strongest motivations is to leave any team I lead better than I found it. Folks, I'll use a little thing, and we're gonna wrap it up here, but here's just something important. In my primary company, I've never been to a leadership conference, ever. And the reason I haven't is because early on in my career, I had one of my upline leaders say, if you're not there, the meeting will not be a success. And it made me realize that my upline leader had no clue about my leadership ability or why I lead. See, I never want to show up at a meeting where it's all about me. I want to show up at a meeting where it's all about my team. By staying home, I am guaranteed that my leaders will be the ones going across the stage. They will be the ones that get the reward. They will be the ones that get to do the training. Now, that's me. That's a sacrifice I've made purposely. But listen, it's never about you. It's always about your team. Now, if you've sat there with your scores and you're looking at them, here's what I want you to do. Now that you've completed this evaluation, examine each law, noting your strengths and your weaknesses. Here's the guideline. If you've got an 8 or 10 to 9, this law is part of your strength. It's part of the zone that you're in. If you've got a 5 or 7, then you need to target this law for growth. If it's a 0 to a 4, it's a weakness. You may need to hire a staff, bring on a partner, do something to help you out in that area. It's the only way you're going to be able to grow that area. You need somebody that can help you there. Folks, I love what we do. This afternoon on Aces Radio Live, we're going to have one of the greatest marketers in the world. And he accomplished that under the age of 25. Here's how I know. I have been supporting him and his team since the day he entered network marketing. He's also one of the most controversial leaders in network marketing. Matter of fact, he's one of the founders, and he's the chief marketing officer of a brand new company launching called Yoli. His name's Corey Citron. I have watched him grow both as a leader and as a businessman. I've watched companies sue him because they didn't want him to leave. They didn't want people to follow him because he's got a great charisma and people will follow his lead because they know they will make money. I don't always agree with what he has to say. I don't always agree with his marketing methods. But I have respect for him, the utmost respect. I enjoy listening to him do training. I enjoy being around him. I'm excited about the company that he's launching with his partners because just like in the laws, we know that you surround yourself with great people. He would not have been asked to be a partner in this company had these leaders, these partners of his, not known him inside and out, know what his values are and where he stands. You do not want to miss Aces Radio Live this afternoon, 5 p.m. Central, as we interview one of the co-founders, the chief marketing officer, Corey Citron, of a new company launching called Yoli. It's going to be a very powerful call. You got to get on early because I guarantee you this will be a crammed house packed call. Everybody will be there. We'll have people from Zango. We'll probably have some officers and attorneys that will be listening in to see what Corey has to say. And I'm telling you, you don't want to miss it. I've got great friends in both of these companies, great friends that I talk to on the phone who get frustrated because of everything going on. I'm telling you, whether you're with Zango or you're with Yoli right now, both companies, phenomenal companies, got a lot of growth ahead of them. But this will be a call that will shed some light on the myth and the legend that we have heard about called Corey Citron. I'm telling you, what this kid has accomplished is amazing. His mother may be on the call. She's a beautiful woman I've grown to respect over the years. So, folks, have a phenomenal day. Live life like it's an epic adventure, and we'll see you this afternoon.